its maintenance, nirodha, and its winding up, lilaya, by the pastimes of grihita, having accepted shakti, power, trithayaya, three modes, dehinam, of all who possess material bodies, antapavaya, unto he who resides within, anupalakshya, inconceivable, vartmane, one who has such ways. Shukadev Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is the complete whole residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This material world is a manifestation of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And the Supreme Lord, for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds, accepts three predominating forms as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shankar, Shiva. As Vishnu, he enters into every body materially created. As Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he enters into every universe. And as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, he enters the body of every living being. Lord Sri Krishna, being the origin of all Vishnu tattvas, is addressed here as Parapuman, or Purushottam, as described in the Bhagavad Gita 15:18. He is the complete whole. The Purusha avatars are therefore his plenary expansions. Bhakti Yoga is the only process by which one can become competent to know him, because the empiric philosophers and mystic yogis cannot conceive the personality of Godhead. He is called Anupalakshya Bharatmane, the Lord of the Inconceivable Way, or Bhakti Yoga. Om Ajnantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanditamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye
Vansha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shukadeva Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who for the creation of material world accepts the three modes of nature. He is the complete whole residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable. Very grateful for this chance to be with all of you today. In the closing line of this purport, by the way, this verse was chosen by Pushkar Prabhu on the request of the temple leader who chooses verses. Srila Prabhupada closes the purport with this line that Krishna is called Anupalakshya Vartmane, the Lord of the Inconceivable Way, or Bhakti Yoga. Parikshit Maharaj, the last 7 days of his life, is feeling the absolute urgency to take shelter of Krishna by hearing from the saint Shukadeva Goswami. It's very interesting. We know the story how he was cursed in the prime of his youth when he was the king of the world. Everything was going his way. Even Kali himself was defeated by Parikshit. Kali could not do anything within the world as long as Parikshit Maharaj was king. This was his potency. Why? Because he had taken shelter of the Lord. He was empowered. And in this most glorious state of his life, suddenly, because of a slight mistake he made under the influence of severe thirst, he was cursed to die in 7 days. Padam padam yad vipadam natesha. When we read this, that there's danger at every step in this material creation, it means for everyone in whatever position we're in. Who today has the power, the influence, the connection to God as Parikshit Maharaj did? But still, at the least expected moment, he gets this message that he's going to die in 7 days. Srila Prabhupada, he warns us that there's not a single person in this entire earth planet that knows for sure that they even have 7 days. So Parikshit Maharaj got good notice. He knew for sure he was going to live another 7 days. And what did he do? He didn't spend the last 7 days making a will and dividing assets and doing all that other stuff. or eating his favorite foods, watching his favorite movies. He immediately, without any hesitation, just left his house, went to the Ganga, went to the sages and begged, please tell me about Krishna. He wanted that every one of his moments to be absorbed in Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan, in Sadhu Sangam, in the association of great Vaishnavas. And because he was so serious, the greatest saints, not only on earth but throughout the universe, immediately came to the site. In those days, many of these great saints, they had mystic powers. How did they all just arrive immediately? You know, today, you know, you have to book a plane or a train or a bus. By the time Parikshit Maharaj arrived on the bank of the Ganga, all the saints and sages and rishis were there. Which means they were practically as enthusiastic as he was. They were enthusiastic to be a part of this historical event and to give their heartfelt, total support to him, because they were compassionate beings. What an example. And all of the great rishis that were present, they couldn't all talk. There were hundreds, thousands of them. It was only 7 days. It's not like, you know, at our festivals where you make a schedule of who's going to speak what verse at what time. There's no envy among them. They just wanted whatever was best for Parikshit Maharaj. And then Sukadeva Goswami just happens to walk in at that time by the arrangement of Krishna. Doesn't wear any clothes. 16 years old, a few minutes before he was being harassed by materialistic people who thought he was some sort of a crazy animalistic person, just insane, because he wasn't following the social standards that they were accustomed to. But he didn't care. For him, honor, dishonor, praise, blame, he just walked in after being harassed and ridiculed, and everybody stood up and put him on the Vyasasana. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking serious questions. What is the essence of all religions? What is the duty, the prime duty of a man about to die? And he wanted to hear about Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami praises Parikshit Maharaj. Because the subject matter that you are speaking about is Krishna. Therefore, it is not only for the ultimate benefit of yourself, but it's for the ultimate benefit of all living beings. Therefore, it is all auspicious. Now, why, with 7 days only to live and time is running out, Parikshit Maharaj is asking about creation? He's posing his apparent confusions. Kindly describe here. I beg to know from you how the personality of Godhead, by his personal energies, creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods. Kindly describe how the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, engages in different energies and different expansions in maintaining again and again, winding up the phenomenal world in the sportive spirit of a player. O learned Brahman, the transcendental activities of the Lord are all wonderful, and they appear inconceivable because even great endeavors by many learned scholars have still proved insufficient for understanding them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, whether he alone acts with the modes of material nature or simultaneously expands in many forms or expands consecutively to direct the modes of nature. Kindly clear up all these doubtful inquiries, because you are not only vastly learned in the Vedic literatures and self-realized in transcendence, but are also a great devotee of the Lord and are therefore as good as the personality of Godhead. How many of us ask these questions when we have 7 days to live? Srila Prabhupada in New Delhi, Akshayananda Swami and some others questioned him, why did you name the deities Radha Partasarathi? Because Partasarathi means Krishna, who's the chariot driver of Arjuna, and that's Kurukshetra Leela, and Radharani never leaves Vrindavan. Of course, she did go to Kurukshetra once, but it was only with the hope of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. She didn't like Kurukshetra. So why Radha and Partasarathi? Seems like a contradiction. But Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bhujai, very difficult to understand the mind of the Lord. Just as the Lord is inconceivable, the Lord, the great devotees, their understanding of the Lord is also inconceivable. And Srila Prabhupada, he said, do you think when Krishna was on the chariot fighting the battle with Arjuna, he was not meditating on Srimati Radharani in his heart of hearts? Do you think he ever forgets Srimati Radharani in his heart of hearts? So Radharani was there with him, within. So what some people were thinking was a materialistic conception was actually such a deep, powerful, inconceivable spiritual conception that Prabhupada had. That even when he's Partasarathi, he's meditating on his Vrindavan Leela with Srimati Radharani. That's how Prabhupada sees Partasarathi. That's how he revealed to the world. So Parikshit Maharaj is very much focusing on understanding the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Personality of God. In these particular inquiries, it's particularly in relation to the creation of material existence. And Srila Prabhupada was extremely enthusiastic, as is Sukadeva Goswami in these verses that we're reading today, to explain this. Sukadeva Goswami is an eternal associate of Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan. He's intoxicated with the understanding and the ecstasy of the highest levels of Prem Rasa. When he speaks the 10th canto of Krishna's Leela, specifically the 5 chapters of Ras Leela, he's revealed the highest subject of all the Vedas. But yet, Shukadeva Goswami is so totally enthusiastic to describe Krishna's inconceivable energies and potencies and how he creates this material world. Because when you see Krishna, everything he does, whatever he does, is absolutely wonderful. When you see from the light of Krishna, Shamsundar, when he expands himself and he expands his energies, even within this material world, it's just the most incredible, all-attractive pastimes. Because we're seeing relationship with Krishna, the ultimate object of our love. And Srila Prabhupada, he just brings everything right to the essence. He says that Krishna is called Anupalakshya Vartmane, the Lord of the Inconceivable Way, or Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti is the inconceivable way to understand every aspect of material existence and of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the cause of all causes. Because unless we understand Achintya Shakti, the inconceivable nature of Krishna in every aspect of existence, we can't really appreciate who Krishna is. We can't really appreciate Krishna's divine leelas. Sometimes we think that the gopis and the gopas of Vrindavan, they just think Krishna's a little boy. They don't know about all these inconceivable energies and inconceivable potencies and how he creates this material world, and he's both simultaneously within everything and outside of everything, and how he's expanding in these different Vishnus. Gaur Keshava Prabhu was so eloquently speaking yesterday. He's the super soul of creation as Mahavishnu. Then he expands as the super soul within each universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Then he expands himself again as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu to be the super soul within the heart of every living being, even the little ant up to Brahma. Inconceivable potencies of the Lord. And sometimes people, when they see us worshiping the deity, what is this? If God is unlimited, why are you worshiping him in such a limited form? God is all-pervading. God has no limitations whatsoever. And here's a form made out of stone or wood, and it was made by a human being. Sometimes they're even carved by Muslims who don't even believe in what they're doing. And we've heard historically, you can break the deities. Krishna's indestructible. Why you worship him in such a destructible form? Yes? It's like Radha Landanishwar. There was this Murti, and Prabhupada, we know the story how Prabhupada heard about this temple. They had this deities of Radha and Krishna, but Radharani's finger was broken, so they thought she wasn't qualified to be installed because she had a broken finger. They put it back on, of course. Prabhupada just looked at the deities. Shamsundar, Tamal Krishna Goswami, Shamsundar Prabhu, they went with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was just talking to this gentleman. Of course he wanted a lot of money. He wasn't going to install them himself, but he wanted a lot of money. And Prabhupada was talking and talking and talking, and the man kept saying, well, don't you want to see the deities? And Prabhupada just kept talking and talking. Don't you want to see the deities? He said, all right, I'll see the deities. And he uncovered the deities, and Prabhupada said, Shamsundar, Tamal Krishna Goswami, bring them to the car, I'll take them. And they picked the deities up and brought them to the car, and the man would say, but Swamiji, and Prabhupada said, yes, thank you, I'll take them, and he walked off. And they drove away. And then after they went a couple blocks away, Prabhupada said, stop. And then he went into the back of the car and bowed down and chanted Brahma Samhita prayers with great love and devotion to worship the deity. So, deity, how can the absolute indestructible have a broken finger? How can you worship the form of the Lord? It's so limited. Well, what we heard from Gaur Keshava Prabhu yesterday, if God is unlimited, then to say he cannot fully manifest within the deity form is limiting him. See, even these babies don't like this limiting the Lord. He's unlimited for the sake of manifesting himself before us, because paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes to this world to annihilate the miscreants, to reestablish the principles of religion, and to protect his devotees. But Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, they tell us that actually he can do many of those things through empowered devotees, through material energy itself. The essential reason why he comes is to attract our love, to give pleasure to his devotees, and to attract the love of his lost children. He comes Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, comes in his holy name. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Asvigra. The name of Krishna is Krishna. His form, his pastimes, his qualities, his abode, everything is non-different than the name. Yegatamam prapadyante tamstadaiva bhajamyam. Krishna reveals himself according to how we approach him. When we approach the holy name with love and devotion and real faith, Krishna reveals everything through the name. But Krishna appears in so many ways. He's appearing as Srimad Bhagavatam. After he left this world in the darkness of the age of Kali, he appeared as the Bhagavat Purana to give light to everyone. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, every syllable of every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Understand any of it, and you'll be liberated. It culminates in Krishna's divine lila of Vrindavan. And Krishna appears within the heart of the Vaishnavas who have devotion to liberate the world. Sends his acharyas, sends his devotees. And he comes in the form of the deity so that we can focus our attention completely on loving service. The difference between idol worship and deity worship in many ways is our consciousness. If we really have faith in the proper, under the guidance of self-realized souls or parampara, if we have the proper faith in the proper form of the Lord, and there are so many mystical, inconceivable forms of the Lord. Here we see the beauty of Radha Shyam Sundar. But I remember in the mid-70s, Gaur Keshava Prabhu was saying, he was reading from Prabhupada's purport yesterday, how Prabhupada said we should establish Shalagram Shila worship in our temples. Well, I believe Mayapur was the only place that had Shalagram Shila worship. And he wanted to establish it in the West, so he personally sent two Shalagram Shilas to New Vrindavan. And he wrote a little message. I don't know where that message is. But he wrote a little message that he's sending these Shalagram Shilas to New Vrindavan to establish Shalagram Shila worship in the Western world, in our temples. And he gave simple instructions how to worship them. Now before going in, do you want to hear his instructions? Before telling you the instructions, I will tell you the sociological psychology that was going on at that time. Because, you know, somebody says something and this is before there was even internet. Somebody says something, and then all these conceptions start going all over the world. Somehow or other, the conception was what Shalagram Shila is Narayan of Vaikuntha. And he's so strict that if you make a single offense to him, you die. Do you remember that? That's the way it was said. You'll be punished, you'll be tortured, and you'll be killed if you make a single offense to a Shalagram Shiva. This is what was spreading around. And Prabhupada sends two Shalagram Shivas to New Vrindavan. And I was just minding my own business on this isolated mountain, 3 miles of mud drudging up to get up there, and the little brass deities of Radha Vrindavanath I was worshipping for several years as the pujari, and I was all alone up there. Sometimes there was a cook, and sometimes the cook, just to get out of the mud, would get married. Very austere up there. It was cold in the winter. It was either slushy mud where every step was no exaggeration. Anybody knows from those days, especially on that mountain. And in the summer it was like that, and in the spring, and in the winter it was ice. So you're either slushing or slipping. And there was no toilet, and there was no sanitary conveniences. When nature called, there was a little shovel, which is an army surplus shovel from the Vietnam War. She kind of folded. Nityodita Prabhu, do you confirm whatever I'm saying? No exaggeration. And there was this old, rusty peanut butter, government surplus peanut butter can. And that was the paraphernalia for doing this seva. And you'd have to climb down the mountain because the brahmacharis would just, I mean, you definitely have to get married if you did your thing anywhere near the temple. That was like the if you broke the rules, you go down and get married. That was the sociological psychology of those days. And I don't support it, but I'm just saying it's what we lived. And you climb down this mountain. It's a hill, which was a part of a mountain. And you dug a hole, and then you filled it, and then you buried it, and then you washed yourself with the same can that everybody uses. And in the winter, it was so cold, blizzard, winds, snow. And, you know, we were all trying to be suchi instead of muchi, trying to be clean. So to go down the hill, there was one old navy blue coat from the U.S. Navy, and everyone wore that with their copens, with their loincloths. They just picked up the, it was called the stool jacket. We weren't so expert in Sanskrit in those days, so we just called it that. And we just wait. Of course, if you really had to go and you couldn't wait for the person before you to bring back the stool jacket, you just ran down in this blizzard, sub-zero weather in your copens with your shovel and can. Anyways, it was a simple life. It's up there worshiping the deities. And then I'm hearing all these rumors for so many years about Shalagram Shilas. And then one day I get a message, Prabhupada has sent 2 Shalagram Shilas, you will be their pujari. I was thinking, but I'm really offensive, I'm not the one to do that. And I said, but know, in those, you follow orders in those days. Anyways, it's a long story. I ended up becoming the first pujari for the Shalagram Shilas that Prabhupada sent to the Western world. And when I started worshiping, I had a broken leg. And, you know, I really thought, God, how am I going to do this puja with a broken leg and not make up offenses? I was thinking that this is the way we were thinking in those days. You know, if you make an offense, you're going to die and be tortured. So just that I was thinking of worshiping before I even started worshiping, I broke my leg. Now I'll read what Prabhupada wrote. He wrote that how to worship Shalagram. He said you should bathe him with rose water, water mixed with rose water, and then dry him, and then offer chandan and tulsi leaves at his lotus feet. And then Prabhupada wrote, first class Shalagram worship means tulsi leaves. Then he said you can draw a face on him with chandan, and then you can offer him a dhoti, a chadar, a crown, and a flute. I was thinking, Narayan doesn't play a flute. That means Shalagram's Krishna. According to our devotion, Krishna reveals himself. Prabhupada was teaching us how to worship Krishna in the Shalagram. Anyways, 30-some years later, I'm still alive to tell the story. It's not because I didn't make any offenses. It's because all that propaganda just wasn't true. Krishna's all merciful. We're supposed to be instruments of his mercy. So, how Krishna, the beautiful form of Shamsundar, the self-same original personality, is in this little black-colored stone. Yes? And some of the greatest acharyas, they were seeing Krishna in the Shalagram Shila. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was seeing Radha and Krishna's divine pastimes in his little Shalagram Shila. He was in ecstatic love. But when people were coming and offering nice jewels and crowns and garments to Radha Govinda and Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan, he just wanted to serve his Krishna. And Shalagram, it's so limited. How much devotion you can offer is unlimited. Even in that little Shalagram, he can receive unlimited devotion. But Gopal Bhatta had this desire in his heart. I want to give you a nice, beautiful crown and beautiful flute and beautiful garments. It was his desire to serve, to love. And he prayed. It was Narasingha Chaturdasi. He prayed, my Lord, just as you came out of a stone pillar for Prahlad and showed your form, please manifest yourself from this little form of Shalagram. so that I can serve you and please you in special ways. And he went to the Jamuna to take his bath and bring back the water for the Abhishekam the next day. And when he came back, the same Shalagram Shila had expanded into the form of Radha Ramana. So these little Shalagrams, they're unlimited, they're inconceivable. That's the supreme absolute truth, the Lord of the universe in full, who is creating, maintaining, and annihilating the entire creation. And there he is, right here, with all of his potencies. And if you say, how can that be? This little black stone is the, you know, at least, you know, Radha Shamsundar, we can imagine these things, but this, he's creating, he's the absolute truth, he's at this very moment, all the universes are being operated under his direction. Yes, he's inconceivable. He can take this form so we can just carry him around with us and worship him wherever we are and love him. And he doesn't even kill us if we make offense. So mercy, he's all merciful. Just offer him a tulsi leaf with love and devotion. That's all he wants. He doesn't need anything. But he appears in these inconceivable, beautiful, wonderful ways just to attract our hearts, just to facilitate our giving our love to him in a very tangible, practical way. One of the beauties of Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness is it was so practical. He took the most incredibly inconceivable philosophy that seems so abstract to a conditioned mind, and he just brought everything to such a practical level. Just chant your rounds. Just read these books. Just do some seva. Just come to Mangal Arati. Everything will be realized if you're just sincere. Prabhupada was so practical. If you are just doing these simple devotional activities sincerely, everything will be revealed to you. And that's what he's saying in this final line. The Lord of the inconceivable, the Lord of the inconceivable way, or bhakti yoga. What is absolutely inconceivable to our mind, to our intelligence, to anyone, even Brahma's mind, Krishna is inconceivable to you. Now, who is Brahma and who is us? He's the engineer of creating the entire universe. You know, we're proud if we can fix our car. Most of us can't even do that, but we can fix our toilet or something. We think, oh, look what I have done. But Brahma, what he does, creates the universe. He creates all living beings within the universe. And yet in Krishna's Leela, Brahma Vimohan Leela, he shows Brahma was bewildered. Here is Krishna. He just kills Agasura, this great, great demon. And then he's sitting on the bank of the Yamuna with his Gopa friends, and they're laughing and they're joking. And one Gopa will eat a laddu and say, Krishna, this tastes really good, try some. And Krishna will take that laddu and say, he'll take it, eat right from the bite mark of his friend, and he'll eat it and say, oh, this is very good. Another friend, this samosa is very good, Krishna. And he give it, and Krishna, very good, good. And Balaram, very good. And then demigods, Brahma's thinking that he's Yajna Purusha, he's Yajna Bhuk, he's the person who's eating all the offerings of the Brahmins and Yajna, and here he's, you know, little cowherd boys, or calf herd boys, as Dinabandhu Prabhu was saying, or Lokanath Swami was saying, right? Lokanath Maharaj was saying, these little calf herd boys. They're just taking food out of their mouth and Krishna's enjoying it like anything. What is? They were bewildered by this. Because demigods really follow rules and regulations of rituals very carefully. And they feel that's their reality. You have to meticulously try to follow all these rules and regulations and etiquette of puja and mudra and yantra and mantra and tantra. And they're just taking food out of their mouths and tossing it over to Krishna, and he's laughing and enjoying it very nicely. They're wrestling. Rama came down to see and to test. He's kidnapped all the calves and all the gopas. And then Krishna expanded himself to be identical to all of them and went home. And there in Vrindavan, all the cows, who were the mothers of the calves, and all the gopas and gopis, the elder ones, who were the mothers and fathers of the gopas, none of them detected the slightest possible difference. For a whole year. It happened on Balaram's appearance day. That's why Balaram wasn't there on that day. He had to stay back and give charity to the Brahmins for his birthday. So a year goes by. The only difference Balaram noticed is that the cows and all the elderly gopas and gopas, they love their children identical to the way they all love Krishna. They never once thought it wasn't their children, but they loved their children millions and billions and trillions of times more than they ever loved their children before, and they really loved their children. Because their children was Krishna, and Krishna was fully reciprocating with them, and they didn't even know it. Meanwhile, it was just a moment for Brahma, but it was a year for us, and he came down to see what kind of anxiety he caused everyone. So everything was the same. He was looking well. All the calves and the children, he put them in some mystic sleep somewhere, and he saw they were still sleeping. But at the same time, they're all right here. Is Krishna shifting them? You know, as I'm looking, but no, they're here. Then he became very bewildered. And then Krishna wanted to bewilder him even more. Suddenly every little calf turned into a four-armed Vishnu form. And every gopa turned into the same. They all had their conch shell and their club and their lotus flower and their chakra. And Rama's looking at that. And he's trembling in bewilderment. What is happening? How is this? And then all of a sudden, everything disappears. And there's just Krishna standing alone, a little gopa. And he has some yogurt and fruit. Prabhupada says fruit salad. And he has it in his little hand. And he's looking for his calves and his gopa friends. Brahma realized this little boy. Supreme Absolute Truth, he's the personality of Godhead. And Brahma comes down from his swan carrier and puts his crown on Krishna's lotus feet. You know, here's the father of all beings in the universe, Brahma. Now, we read about Brahma, but can you imagine meeting Brahma? No, I mean, we get a little nervous if we have to meet, like, the President of the United States or something. You know, recently I met the president of Zambia. I was a little nervous before I met him. But can you imagine meeting the president of the universe and his term is 311 trillion years? He's not subject to his position is not subject to the alliance of other parties, political parties. There's no voting. He's born, and he, until the day he gives up his body, he's the creator, the number one man of the universe. And Krishna's just a little gopa with gunjamala, with peacock feather, and wild flowers, and gopas would get herbs and minerals and rub them over their bodies to make it look funny. Very beautiful. And Krishna just practically ignored Brahma, like, well, who are you? What are you doing? And Brahma surrendered. He gave one example. He said, in my ignorance, I'm like a firefly. In darkness, the firefly thinks that he's lighting up the whole sky. But when the sun rises, the firefly realizes I am insignificant. But this is what's such beautiful about bhakti. Brahma, when he was thinking he was lighting up the whole sky, you know, he was just Brahma. But when he realized how insignificant he was before the light of and the power and the grace of Krishna, he was in total ecstasy. So sometimes we think, when I think I'm insignificant, we have some kind of inferiority complex, and so God is great and I'm so insignificant. But if we're actually thinking that way in a spirit of bhakti, we're thinking we're insignificant not because we're down on ourselves. We're thinking ourselves insignificant because we're fully relishing the supreme beauty, glory, power, and love of Krishna. We're drowning in the ecstasy of Krishna's glories, unlimited. Krishna's on his beauty, his sweetness, his love, his power, it's unlimited, yet it is at every moment for the rest of eternity, eternal, it's increasing. Now that is inconceivable. And that same personality we're talking about, the source of all energies, is in the little Shalagram Shila. And we get to paint his face on him every day. Whatever we want him to look like, that's how everyone's going to see Krishna. He seems so helpless. Yes? And Krishna Balaram Radhasham Sundar Gormitai. We have to understand the deity in this spirit. Not just stone or wood or metal. Yes, it is. But Krishna, he's the creator of these elements, and he has the inconceivable power by his own sweet will to fully manifest and enter in the same wholeness as he's living in the spiritual world in Goloka. He is present within his own energy. It is his inconceivable mercy that he makes himself so available. And although he's the controller of all controllers, he wears what you decide to dress him in. Yes? He eats what you decide to prepare for him. And if you don't prepare, he's hungry. Now, if he's Atmarama, if he's completely full, and he's getting, you know how much he eats in Goloka Vrindavan? You know, Govardhan Puja. In some universe within creation, there's a Govardhan Puja going on every time. And that means on that planet, there's thousands, millions of people making anakuts for Krishna. Krishna doesn't need our food. But just to reciprocate with our love, he actually feels hungry when we don't feed him. And when it comes to the that evening when he supposed Gaurakeshava Prabhu was talking yesterday about putting a bed behind the altar, a big bed or a small bed, but Krishna should have a bed. And we're thinking, why does Krishna need a bed? Krishna never sleeps. The Paramatma in our heart, does he go to sleep? I don't know exactly, but he's aware of everything, whether he sleeps. Mahavishnu's kind of sleeping, but he's aware of everything. He's creating the whole existence in his yoga nidra. But yes, we just chant the mantras with devotion and Krishna goes to sleep. Utishta, utishta, we chant the mantra with devotion and Krishna wakes up. The controller of all controllers accepts being controlled by his own little devotees, even children. When Gopal Bhatta saw little Shalagram become Radha Raman, playing his flute, standing in threefold bending form, he called Rupan Sanatan Goswami and the other, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, who were there. And they all looked and they saw this beautiful form of Radha. And they named him Radha Raman because he appeared near the Nidiban where Radharani, where Krishna does seva for Radharani and Radharani does seva for Krishna in the early, early, early morning hours. And in Gaudiya Sampradaya it is said that the lotus, that the Sambandha Murti is Madan Mohan. We worship his lotus feet. The Abhideya Murti is Radha Govinda Dev. There is carrying his flute in his chest. And Gopinath is the smiling face, Prayojana. But they all said that Radha Raman has the feet of Madan Mohan, the flute and chest of Govind, and the face of Gopinath. All the three Ishtadevs are in this one little form of Radha Raman. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping Radha Raman with his heart and his soul. But then he began to feel guilty. I'm kind of late, so should I feel guilty? Thank you. He was thinking back Srirangam, one of the abodes of Gaurakeshava Prabhu. Pushkar Prabhu and I went there with him many years ago. He says Vrindavan is the abode of Dinabandhu Prabhu. So Srirangam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there during his South Indian tour. In fact, it's an auspicious time to tell this story, but I don't have time to tell it. But this year is the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to Srirangam. He arrived there when Chaturmasya starts quite soon. So he arrived there just almost at this part of the year, 500 years ago. He danced and he chanted before Ranganath, this ancient murti brought by Vibhishana from Ayodhya. He was on his way to Sri Lanka, but Ranganath decided to take rest there in Rangakshetra. And there, Venkata Bhatta invited Lord Chaitanya. It's the rainy season starting, so please stay at my home. So Lord Chaitanya stayed there for 4 months. And little Gopal Bhatta was just a child of about 5 or something. And the first day Lord Chaitanya came, he had the beautiful darshan of Lord Gauranga. He drank the water that his father gave him that washed the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. An ecstatic love awakened in his heart immediately. He was rendering all personal services to the Lord. And before Lord Chaitanya left, 4 months later, he told Gopal Bhatta that you should serve your mother and father very carefully as long as they live. And after they pass away from this world, you should go to Vrindavan and join Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Which is interesting because Lord Chaitanya had not yet met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami yet. Gopal Bhatta was the first of the Goswamis he met in that. He met Raghunath Das Goswami also soon after he took sannyas. So then, Venkata Bhatta and his good wife, they were pure devotees of Radha and Krishna by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and they gave up their lives in their old age, chanting the holy names, and they blessed Gopal Bhatta, go to Vrindavan. But it's interesting, he stayed and faithfully served his parents all those years, the order of the Lord. Then he went to Vrindavan, and now here he has Radharaman. And as he's worshipping Radharaman, he was feeling guilty that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered me to serve my parents, and my parents guided me to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the one who gave me all mercy. How could I worship anyone more other than Lord Chaitanya? But I'm worshiping Krishna, but really it's Lord Chaitanya that saved me. So he was thinking like that as he was doing his puja to Radharaman. And then Sri Radharaman, according to Bhakti Ratnakara, Radharaman manifested his form of Lord Gauranga. He's seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing right in front of him. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his body, beautiful golden form, transformed right in front of Gopal Bhatta's eyes into the dark monsoon-like complexion of Krishna and began to play his flute. So then all doubts were erased. By worshipping Radharaman, I am fully fulfilling the desire of my parents and the desire of my heart, because I'm worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are non-different. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the complexion and the bhava, the mahabhava, the love of Sri Radha. Well, these are inconceivable subjects. And Srila Prabhupada explains here, so simple and so practical, that the only possible way of conceiving the inconceivable is by the grace of the inconceivable. It's beyond our mental capacity, beyond our intellectual capacity. It's beyond anything. It's beyond Brahma's intellectual capacity. How are we going to figure out Krishna? But we can know everything as it is, because Krishna is inconceivable and unlimited. Part of his inconceivable unlimitedness is even little people like us, conditioned and with so many attachments and everything else in this world, he could make himself fully conceivable, understood, and loved by us. That is his inconceivable power. That's why when a devotee becomes advanced, you have to become humble with each step of an advancement. If you're not becoming humble, it's not real advancement. You may be advancing in your material abilities to do things in Krishna consciousness, but the actual bhakti, if you're really making advancement, you have to become humble, because whatever advancement we're making is only by the grace of Krishna. We're humbled by that. Krishna's inconceivable, unlimited, all-pervading powers of love and devotion and beauty and liberating us from so many difficulties. It's all Him. It's not about me. It's about Him. And bhakti. Bhakti atvananiya shakya aham evam vidorjana. Krishna tells us in Gita, I can only be under, it is only by undivided devotion, bhakti, that I can be understood as I am standing here before you. Now Krishna is saying that in the Gita, factually, Radhasham Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Gorni Tai, they are standing here before us. They're telling us this. I can only by pure undivided devotion can I be understood as I am standing before you. And the Murti of the Holy Name is telling us the same thing. Srila Prabhupada came with the ultimate supreme gift of bhakti. Bhakti yoga, how to reconnect with Krishna. Patram pushpam balam toyam. The husband of the goddess of fortune becomes forever indebted to even a simple devotee who offers him a tulsi leaf with love and devotion. That is the inconceivable way of bhakti yoga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.
Sure, I was going to give this to him away. It was one of the things that